Ezekiel chapter 37, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for this glorious morning. We thank you, first and foremost, for bringing every one of us here safely this morning. Thank you, Lord, for gathering us together in your name. For as it is written, unto you shall the gathering of your people be. Thank you also for your presence in our midst. For where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And so we thank you that as we approach your word in your glorious presence here today, you will open the eyes of our understanding to see clearly that which you want to show us from the holy written word. And Lord, we also pray that as you reveal the truth to us, you will help us not just to be hearers of your word only, but to be doers as well, so that we may profit thereby. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher and our guide, now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 10. Let's go. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Amen and amen. Praise God. Before we look closely at the verse that God would have us to pay attention to, we see here in the context in which we have read it so far from verse 1 to 10 that God is revealing certain truth to his prophet Ezekiel in a vision. So what Ezekiel is declaring to us, he received from the Lord in a vision. And there are certain lessons that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. There are quite a lot of things that we can see clearly in them. But one thing is very significant, as we shall see later, and that is the fact that every one of us as humans have to humble ourselves under the hand of God and acknowledge that God indeed is the all-knowing one. It does not matter what circumstances we face in life, we can simply humble ourselves to say, well, I may not know what is going on here. I may not even know what to do in this situation. But I know that God does know about everything concerning this matter, and He knows what I need to do in this situation. And if I will simply humble myself to ask of Him to give me clarity of direction, I will know exactly what to do, just as God knows. So we shall be looking closely at that. But let's look at verse 11 so that we see that what God was showing to Ezekiel in a vision was symbolic of the people of God, the nation of Israel, when Ezekiel received this vision. And we can find application to our lives today as Christians, because we are God's spiritual children, just as Israel in the days of Ezekiel were God's natural children. We thank God that under the new dispensation that we are living in Christ, Bible says God has united everything together in Christ, so that there is no more Jew, no more Gentile. We are all one in Christ. So the truth that we glean from this passage of Scripture, we can genuinely apply to our lives today as God's children through faith in Christ Jesus. And now look at verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say. Now notice the children of God, the Israelites, were saying something. But then God is saying something else. And you and I can identify with that. We've all been through circumstances in our lives. We may even be going through some right now. And the tendency is for us to say things about what we are going through based on how we understand the situation, based on how we can reason it out, based on how we feel, maybe even based on what others are saying about our circumstances. But you see, we have to learn from this passage of Scripture that what we say, if we don't get it from God, is wrong. It may appear reasonable to us. It may make sense. It may even sound logical. But then, if it is not what God is saying, then what we are saying is wrong. Many times, many situations in the Bible, we find people saying all manner of things. But then at the end of the day, when God came on the scene and said what he had to say in the situation, we find very clearly that what God was saying was totally different from what the people were saying. Put your finger right there in Ezekiel chapter 37. We are coming back to it. Let's turn quickly to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49. See, we have to learn to humble ourselves under the hand of God and to acknowledge that God is the one and only one who knows everything. Our knowledge as humans is imperfect, Bible says. So there is no point, therefore, relying on our own knowledge of our situation, our circumstances, and going about declaring words that are based on our own knowledge. We should learn to speak only the words that are consistent with God's own knowledge of our situation. And if we seek Him, we will always find His own knowledge in every matter of life. Now look at what the Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 49. Again, for the sake of context, let us read quickly together from verse 8, and we are just going to read it to verse 17. Isaiah 49, verses 8 to 17. Let's go. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee. and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the hearth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall they eat, nor the sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, this shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget a sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Amen and amen. Again, we see in this account, God is saying something, but his people are saying something else. Look at what Bible says there in verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. You see, that's what the people of God are saying. But God is saying, how can I forsake you? How can I forget you? You look at a woman that has a sucking child, how she is devoted to that child. And if there be any unfaithful woman who is not devoted to her sucking child, yet I, God, will never be like such a woman. I have graven you upon the palm of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. I am not even taking my eyes off of you for one moment. I'm seeing you right where you are. I'm seeing you in your situation. I'm seeing you in all the adversity that you are in right now. And I have a plan to get you out of them. I have a plan to give you victory. I have a plan to defeat all your enemies. So stop saying that I have forsaken you. Stop saying that I have forgotten you. You see, God always has a plan. Look at verse 17. It says, thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. You see, you are destined for victory in every situation of life. It doesn't matter what is contrary to you. As a child of God, God already has a plan in place to give you the victory. The truth is that in Christ Jesus, you see, again, this passage of scripture is prophetic concerning the comfort that Jesus will bring unto us. And when God was declaring it through Isaiah, the same Isaiah that prophesied about the coming of Jesus in chapter 53, and how he would die on the cross for us, and he would bear in his bodies all our punishment for our own liberty, and by his stripes we will be healed. Bible says here that God already has comforted us, you see. Why? Because Jesus will come and he will restore everything to us. Look at verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath, past tense, God has done it. If you are a Christian, God has already comforted you in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't matter what afflictions we are going through, the mercy of God is already in place for us. The truth is that in Christ Jesus, we are already winners. We are already more than conquerors, Bible says, through him that loved us. But then, if we don't understand things from God's perspective, we will rely on our human understanding and we will speak as the people of God were speaking in the days that Isaiah was prophesying these words to them. We will say, well, God has forgotten me. God has forsaken me. If God is with me, how come I'm going through all these things that I'm going through? The same mistake Gideon made, remember? When the angel appeared unto Gideon and said, oh, you are a mighty man of valor. Gideon said, no, I'm not a mighty man of valor. If God really is with us, how come we're having all these troubles? How come the Midianites are oppressing us so much? Where are all the miracles that God promised our fathers? Well, there's nothing to show that God is with us. So we are not anything that God is saying we are. See, when we lean on our human understanding, we will never see things the way God sees them. And oftentimes we'll end up confessing things that are contrary to the will of God, which Bible says will become a snare unto us. You see, we are snared by the words of our mouth. And that is the trick the devil plays on us. You see, all the time, he tries to get us to look at our situation based on our own human understanding, because he knows that our understanding is imperfect. Actually, the devil knows that more than many of us as Christians. The devil knows that the human understanding is imperfect because he corrupted the understanding of man in the Garden of Eden. And as long as you and I don't allow our minds to be transformed by the renewing through the truth that is in the gospel of Jesus, we'll end up just leaning on our own human understanding that is imperfect. And we'll say things that are contrary to the plans of God. And what we say eventually is what we are going to get, because life and death are in the power of the tongue, Bible says. What we say continually out of our mouth will become what we experience in the physical realm. See, we can frame our own world, so to say, our own mini world, in this large world that we are living in by the words of our mouth. If we begin to say things that are in line with the word of God, we will experience the fulfillment of God's promises while we are in this world. But if we say things that are contrary to the word of God, that's exactly what we are going to get. So it is not the fault of God, and we can't even blame the devil either. We have to take a good look at ourselves and see how we are living this life of faith in Christ Jesus. Are we living it leaning on our own human understanding, or are we living it humbling ourselves to acknowledge that God is the one that knows everything, and we must agree with his own knowledge of us and our circumstances? So again, we see here Zion was saying something, but what Zion was saying is not what God was saying. Now let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 37. Now we are going to look very closely at verse 3. Let's read that together again. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Amen. Please underline your Bible, O Lord God, thou knowest. What a good answer from Ezekiel. God is asking him a question. Well, I've shown you these dry bones. Obviously, at that point in time, Ezekiel did not even know the interpretation of what God was showing him. All he saw were just dry bones. So many of them in that valley. He did not even know that it was representative of Israel, the people of God. But at least he was saying what God was showing him. These are bones, and they are very dry, which means these bones are really in such a situation that one will say, well, the condition of this dryness has been long standing. It's not a fresh dryness. These are bones that have really, really been there for long. So they have been dead for long. Very dry. Because Ezekiel said they were very dry. Long dead. Looking naturally impossible for any positive changes to take place. So he said, well, the bones are dry. They are very dry. Very, very dry. And God is asking him. Again, Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 3. And God is asking him the question, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Notice, Ezekiel saw the bones that they were very dry. Naturally speaking, if we are to lean on our own human understanding, our answer will be, well, it is impossible for them to live because they are very dry. They've been dead for long. Just forget about these ones. Too far gone. You know, that's how we are. When we lean on our human understanding, we summarize our situation oftentimes and conclude, well, there's just no way in this matter anymore. And like Mary and Martha said concerning Lazarus, perhaps if God had come earlier, if Jesus had shown up earlier, then the situation would not have been this bad. But now it is too bad. He's already dead 4 days. 4 days lying in the grave, there's nothing that can be done anymore. His body is already decomposing. But then Jesus corrected them and said, well, I am. Not I was or I will be. I am, present tense, the resurrection and the life. In other words, all I need to do is appear in the situation. If that situation was past, it will become present because I am. And if that situation was future, it will become now because I am. And if you simply believe that I am, then you will see my power now. And thank God Mary and Martha believed on Jesus, and so Lazarus came back to life. We serve a God that knows how to perform miracles if we believe on him with all our hearts. And so Ezekiel was very smart here, and this is how you and I need to live. This is the wisdom we should learn to live by as God's people, because we are God's children. Every one of us in Christ is a priest, Bible tells us, because Jesus has made us priests and kings unto God the Father. In Revelation, Bible teaches us that, chapter 1. So we don't need to shy away from our responsibility as God's children and priests, in the sense that we can take the word of God and minister that word to ourselves, and also minister the word of God to others. That's the job of a priest. He takes the word of God. He doesn't take his own word. The priest does not minister his own word. He takes the word of God and ministers it to the people, to himself, to situations, to circumstances. He just has to apply the word of God. And so Ezekiel is very smart. When God asked him, well, you've seen the bones. They are really, really very dry, and there are many of them in that valley. Now, can these bones live? Look at the answer of Ezekiel again, and that should be our answer. He said, O Lord God, thou knowest. In other words, Ezekiel is not leaning on his own human understanding. Ezekiel is not looking at the situation and reasoning with his own mind and saying, well, the bones are many. They are very dry, which means they've been long dead. Therefore, these ones can't live anymore. And he would have spoken wrong thing out of his mouth. But thank God he didn't do that. He simply humbled himself and said, God, you know. You know. Say to your neighbor, only God knows. No man knows. No creation of God knows. Only the Creator knows everything. Amen. If we all learn that simple lesson as Christians, most of our problems will be solved. Because in most cases, because we lean on our human understanding, we end up saying the wrong things out of our mouth. And those wrong things we say become a snare unto us. Bible says we are snared by the words of our mouth. And in Proverbs chapter 18, Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And what we say out of our mouth, we are going to have as a harvest unto our lives. So we need to learn to say things that are consistent with what God knows. Not what we know, but what God knows. Say to your neighbor, say only what God knows. Not what you know. Not what any man knows. Amen. Let's get our pen and paper. We are going to jot down a few points that we can take home and meditate in, so that we can have a clearer understanding of what we are sharing this morning, because it is important for us as Christians to learn how to live victoriously in this world. You see, we don't have to wait for the sweet by before we begin to live victoriously. God's plan for us is to live the days of heaven while we are here on earth. It is exactly the same plan that God had for the children of Israel. He gave them instructions. He said, well, in Deuteronomy, if they would simply walk in obedience to his word, it will make them to live the days of heaven here on earth. But unfortunately, they did not listen to God's word. They just did their own thing. And they fell short of God's own high standard concerning them. We can learn from all the things that are written in the scriptures, as the Bible says, so that we don't go in the way of error like those that messed up in the times of old did. But we can learn from those that did it right and just do it right ourselves, just as we are learning from Ezekiel here this morning. So please write this down. God is the only one who knows, number one, everything. God is the only one who knows everything. There is no one else that knows everything. Only God. God is the only one who knows everything. That's why we call him omniscient God. He knows everything. There is nothing he doesn't know. You and I will agree that there is no man that knows everything. The best you can know is your field of endeavor. For instance, if you get a professor of theology, he can tell you so much about theology. But then if you take that same professor and you put him in an aeroplane and you tell him to fly the aeroplane, he will be there shaking. Why? He doesn't know how to fly the aeroplane. He's not a pilot. He's just a professor of theology. But then he can call himself an expert, a consultant. But then his knowledge is limited, you see. And that's how we all are. There is nobody that knows everything. We may know some things, but none of us knows everything. Then secondly, God is the only one who knows anything fully. Again, God is the only one who knows everything. There's nothing he doesn't know. And then secondly, he is the only one who knows anything fully. And that tells us that even the things we know, we don't know them fully. Even the professor of theology doesn't know everything there is to know about theology. His knowledge is still in part. Just like you and I have. That's why you see, you find out many times what we know today, after some while, we begin to change and make adjustments, because then we discover that, well, there are some things we missed out before. So we just say we have upgraded our knowledge. If we really knew everything, where is the need for upgrading? So we have to upgrade knowledge because we didn't know everything. Now we've just discovered some new things and we realize what we knew before is not complete. So we just upgrade the knowledge. But God doesn't upgrade knowledge. He's perfect in knowledge. Hallelujah. At any point in time, His knowledge is perfect. But our own knowledge is imperfect. So God is the only one that knows everything and is the only one that knows anything fully, unlike us humans. In front of that, please write 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Those two scriptures tell us that we don't really know anything as we ought to know them. 1 Corinthians. Okay, let's quickly turn there and look at them quickly so that we can follow what God is teaching us this morning very clearly. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. Let's read together. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Well, we all know God cannot lie. God is not talking about some people here, saying any man, anybody, Christian or non-Christian, any human being. There is nobody that knows anything as he ought to know it. So therefore, my knowledge is not perfect. Your knowledge is not perfect. There is more to know, even about the thing that I think that I know now. There is room for upgrading my knowledge. Secondly, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So this is why, you know, if we really understand the ways of God, we will walk this life in humility and with humility. Because we'll realize if God doesn't really help me, I don't really know what to do as I ought to. So I need God's help. That's the bottom line. Every one of us need God's help. It's as simple as that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and let us read together verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Please underline in your Bible right there, now I know in part. As long as we are in this life, our knowledge is in part. But when we go back to God and we go back into the glory, let's put it that way, and we see God face to face, then we shall know everything. But now, in this world, there is none of us that knows everything. Our knowledge is in part. Now, if, as a wise Christian, if I just reflect on that personally, and I say, but wait a minute, my knowledge is in part, so I can't really rely on my knowledge then. If Bible tells me my knowledge is in part, then why should I rely on what is not perfect? That's going to lead me into problems. Because if my knowledge is not as perfect as it should be, if I apply my knowledge to anything, then that thing will be imperfect. Why don't I seek the knowledge that is perfect then? And rely on the one that knows everything. You see? Now let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 37. We begin to see the wisdom of Ezekiel here. And that is the way we all must live. If we apply this simple truth to our lives in every situation, in every circumstance, I tell you, we will always have great victories because this is the way God Himself gets victory in every situation. He has perfect knowledge. And that's why the devil can, that's why God always outsmarts the devil. The devil thinks he knows, but he doesn't know as he ought to, just like you and I don't know as we ought to. For instance, Bible says, if the princes of this world had known they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the devil didn't know the plan of God for salvation. Otherwise, he would not have touched Jesus at all. He would just have left him. But because he didn't know, he thought he was smart. He thought, okay, all I need to do is just get rid of this Jesus. Because when I make people blind, it will open their eyes. When I kill people, it will bring them back to life. When I strike them with disease, it will heal them. This Jesus is messing up my work. If I would just get rid of him, then nobody can stop me. That was the thinking of the devil. So he put in motion a plan to get rid of Jesus. He got in the heart of the Pharisees. He entered into Judas Iscariot. He did everything possible just to get them to crucify Jesus, without knowing that actually it is through crucifixion of Jesus that all the curse of the law will be taken away from mankind. And by the time the devil realized the mistake he had made, it was too late. The penalty for your sin and my sin had been paid. And here we are today, the redeemed of the Lord. Why don't you lift your hands to God and thank God? God has perfect knowledge. You are the redeemed of the Lord. The devil tried to stop you from becoming the redeemed of the Lord, but at the end of the day, he actually helped God to fulfill his plan. Because God has perfect knowledge. The devil doesn't have, and no man has. Glory be to God forevermore. Ezekiel chapter 37, again verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. In other words, only you know. I'm not even going to attempt to give my own opinion concerning these dry bones. I'm just going to say to you, Lord, you tell me what you know, because you know, I don't know. And I'm not going to seek knowledge from any other prophet like myself. I'm going to look to you, Almighty God, for knowledge. You know, that's how we all need to live. And if you ask guidance from anybody, if they can't show you in the Word of God, you better don't lean on what they say. Remember, no man is perfect in knowledge. Sometimes we allow people to mess us up because we just listen to their opinion without remembering that they don't have perfect knowledge, just as you and I don't have perfect knowledge too. But if every one of us will look to God like Ezekiel did and say, God, you alone know. And so tell me, Lord, show me, Lord, what you know, so that I can believe your own knowledge and act upon it, then we'll always have victory in every situation. Have you ever heard of God failing before? Have you ever heard of God being defeated before? Now, how come God never fails? How come he's never defeated? Because of his knowledge. He has perfect knowledge of what to do. So he knows how to get victory in every situation. He knows how to turn situations that are contrary around to work for our good. He knows how to make a way where there seems to be no way. Because he created everything, and all of his creation is subject to him. Now, write this down also. Therefore, in other words, because God is the only one that knows everything, and secondly, is the only one that knows anything fully. Therefore, you must not rely on any human knowledge as the final say in your life. Don't rely on any human knowledge as the final say in your life or in your circumstances. Don't rely on any human opinion, whether yourself or anybody else's. Don't rely on them. Because no man really knows. Let's put it that way. We don't know. We think we know, but we don't know, as we ought to. Bible says, only God knows. So there is no point then relying on any opinion of man. So many of us waste our time trying to find out what the opinion of people are. Their opinion is wrong because they don't know everything. Only God knows. So let's begin to seek the opinion of God and the knowledge of God. And then we will walk in victory. We will have success in every area of life. The same thing God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Just meditate in my word day and night. In other words, you see, get my knowledge into yourself. That's the way to see it. Because when you are meditating in the word of God, what you are doing is you are meditating in the knowledge of God. And then God told Joshua, if you do that, then you are going to make your way prosperous and you are going to have good success. No man shall be able to stand before you or resist you all your days. Why? Because by my knowledge, you will have victory over every opposition. You will know what to do. See the key? So again, therefore, you must not rely on any human knowledge as the final say in your life or in your circumstances. In front of that, please write the scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. We all know it very well, so we don't need to turn there this morning. We know that right there God tells us to trust in Him with all our heart and not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge Him so that He might direct our path. You see, God will direct our path in the ways of His knowledge that will bring us success and victory in every situation. Let me give you an illustration, you see, which we all can identify with. For instance, we can rely on the doctor's knowledge as the expert. Isn't that so? We go to the doctor runs his test, and then he says, well, this is the condition you have. I'm sorry, it is incurable. And then we'll believe him and agree with him. Well, the expert said, my sickness is incurable. Well, we've forgotten that he's a man. His knowledge is imperfect, just as the Bible says. That's why we need to study the word of God and have an understanding of these basic things so that we don't live, as Bible teaches us, under the beggarly elements of this world. We are overcomers through Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Where does our faith come from? From God. When we live by the word of God, we are living by the faith of God, then we'll overcome everything in this world because God has knowledge of what to do in every matter of life. What we ought to do is when the GP tells us our sickness is incurable, we have to go to God and say, thank God for the doctor. He doesn't know everything. So I come to you, O God, you are the one that knows everything. What do you say about my condition? And then we realize God tells us with Him all things are possible. So instead of then saying, well, this sickness, I'm just going to live with it for the rest of my life, we'll begin to say, praise the Lord. This sickness is not going to remain in my body. Glory be to God. Because God said, and God is the all-knowing one, not the GP. You see, that's the key. That's the key. And that's how to walk by the faith that overcomes the world. We have to take our knowledge from God. Not from ourselves. Not from any human being. Not from any created being. But from God and God alone. Because only God knows. No man knows. Thirdly, please write this down. The way to live as Christians successfully is to always say to ourselves in every circumstance, only God knows. That's all. If you want to live as a child of God, just as we saw with Ezekiel here, whatever your circumstances, whatever situation you find yourself in, the first thing you have to do is to set your mind on that truth that only God knows everything about this situation. And only God knows what I need to do in this situation. So that already helps me to have a clear focus of what to do in that particular situation. But if I don't set that in my mind, you know what I'm going to end up doing? I'm going to keep running from pillar to post, going up and down, trying to find who knows what I should do, up and down and up and down. But don't you realize that up and down and to and fro is not our ministry as Christians? Up and down and to and fro is the ministry of the devil. He's the one that's always going up and down, to and fro. Our own ministry as Christians is what Jesus said in John chapter 15. Abide in me. Abide means stay permanently in there. There's a place for us to dwell permanently always, and that is in Christ, the Word of God. We don't need to go up and down, to and fro. We abide in the Word because we know God knows everything. What no man knows, he knows. What I don't know, he knows. There is no situation too hard for God. There is no circumstance that God doesn't know how to handle. So if I will simply focus on him, then there is a way for me. There is a way for me. Say to yourself, there is a way for you. The devil can't stop you. No contrary situation can stop you. You are a child of destiny. You will fulfill your destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Put your finger there in Ezekiel 37. Turn with me also quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So if we simply say to ourselves, no matter the circumstance, as Christians, the first thing, when anything comes against you in life, don't say any negative word out of your mouth, because that's what the devil wants you to do. He puts pressure on you. He wants you to be afraid. He intimidates you. He wants you to begin to confess negative. No, don't fall for his trick. When that situation comes, the first thing you should say to yourself, praise God, God knows about this, and he knows what I need to do. And that will already put you at rest. You won't panic. Because then you know the next step is to go to God and find out what he knows about the situation. And you'll be in perfect control of that situation through the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this is why as Christians, we are more than conquerors. We are winners already. Not going to win, we already win. In fact, before the problem comes, we have already won the situation. The devil is in trouble. When we know the truth makes us free. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Please underline that in your Bible, God is faithful. Who will not suffer, the word suffer there means allow. Who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Say to yourself, I don't care what is contrary to me right now. There is a way of escape for me. And God knows the way. Hallelujah. You see the thing? God is saying to us here, now which one of us knows the way of escape? We don't. But God knows. And if we seek him, we will know too. By his own knowledge. So there is nothing you are going through now that there is no way of escape for. So don't let the devil lie to you and say, well, you know, your situation is just bad. There is nothing you can do about it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God says there is nothing you are going through, no trial, no tribulation you are going through right now, that God has not already prepared a way of escape for you. So all you need to do now is find out from God the knowledge of what to do in order to escape. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? So we know the way of escape is available for us because God said so. All right. Now, write this down also. Therefore, in every situation, what I need to do as a Christian is find out what God knows. I just need to find out from God what He knows, because only God knows. So I'm going to find out from Him. I'm not going to find out from any man. I'm going to find out from God what He knows. And that will always lead me to the Word of God. The Word of God is a compilation of the knowledge of God that He has given to us to live by. This is like the manual for living victoriously. Everything we need to do to have victory and success in all endeavors of life is written for us in the Scriptures. And if there is an area of need that we have that is not clearly written, then there is a solution still in the Word of God, what we should do. Now, before we look at that, let's, for instance, look at various circumstances. Now, if I'm sick in my body, God's Word already has knowledge for me to live by. Isn't that so? The knowledge of what Jesus did to take my sickness away. And therefore, I can believe God for healing. Now, if, for instance, the devil is trying to get me to be afraid so that I will live in fear of all the evil deeds that is perpetrating around the world, has God not spoken in His Word that no evil shall befall me, no destruction shall come near me? You see, there is the knowledge of God for me to live by. So the 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but shall not come near me. Why? Because God who keeps me neither slumbers nor sleep. So that's God's own knowledge. But then the devil has his own knowledge that he wants me to live by, which is fear of evil. And then he will get even some so-called Christians to come around me and get me to fear also, because they are full of fear themselves. Don't think that because somebody carries King James version of the Bible, he has faith. There are so many Christians walking about, but they are ignorant of even the Bible they are carrying. And God said in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, ignorance. And when we are ignorant, I tell you, we'll be afraid of the devil. And the devil will be in a corner just laughing at us. He will say, look at this one. He doesn't even know he has power over me. This is one of them that don't read their Bible. Otherwise, he would have found out that Jesus told him, He has given him authority over all my power. Luke 10:19. The devil knows the Bible more than many of us as Christians. That's why the Bible says the devils believe and they tremble. They believe the word and they are always shaking because they are thinking, hey, if this person stands on the word, I'm in trouble. He's ready to run. But because we don't stand on the word, they stay there. The devil knows that Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Not some of them. All of them. And nothing, notice, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Which means there is nothing the devil does against you that will prosper. God won't stop him because God said they shall surely gather. God won't stop trouble from coming your way because God knows you will overcome every one of them by faith. God never said because you're a Christian you won't have trouble. Actually, you're going to have plenty. Say to your neighbor, you have plenty. But you're already a winner because you have the knowledge of God to have victory in every situation. Amen. All right, so now what happens if the situation I have is such that I can't really find a direct scripture in the Bible? Turn with me quickly to James chapter 1. There are times when we are going to go through a situation, we can't really find a direct verse of scripture that speaks directly, like, you know, the healing situation already know what the word of God says. Well, fear, I know what the word of God says, you know. But then how about when I don't really know? I can't find a scripture directly. So I don't know what the knowledge of God is in this matter. And I need to know, because I don't want to lean on my own human understanding. I want to know what the knowledge of God is in this situation, so that I can say to that situation what God himself is saying. Well, the answer is right here. It covers everything. Everything that we don't know what to do about. Say to your neighbor, if you don't know what to do, don't be discouraged. Just do what James says. Amen. James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know what to do again. I'm not to run from pillar to post or go up and down and to and fro. Ask God. God, I can't find a scripture directly that addresses my need. So give me your knowledge of what I need to do. And God never fails to give. How is he going to give? Don't worry about that. He knows how to get you to see it. You don't say, well, I need wisdom. Well, tell brother so-so-so the wisdom so that I can tell me. No, you are not the one to tell God how to run his business. You just say, God, I stand on your word. You say, if I lack wisdom, I should ask you. So I ask you, and I trust you will give it to me your own way. And watch and see. He will give you. You may come to church and the preacher doesn't even know your case. And he's just preaching. And you hear the direction. Just like that. Or you may even take the Bible and you are studying at home and praying. And suddenly God shows you a scripture that is remotely related to your need. And he uses that to speak to you. And suddenly you see clearly what to do. Or it may come to you in a dream or in a vision of the night. God knows how to communicate to us and give us an assurance of what we need to do. But when you receive things in dreams or in vision, test them also by the word of God. There will always be something about God's direction. It will always be righteous. God will never lead you in unrighteousness. So don't receive a dream that is unrighteous and say God is speaking to you. That's not God. That's the enemy. The devil also can come to us in dreams and in visions. Make sure you are walking in the righteousness of God. Amen. All right. Now, so that always leads us to the word of God. So what you then find out from the word of God, if it is clear, like healing or, you know, all those other promises that we find in the word, or if it's not directly clear in scripture, then you seek God's counsel, as Bible says here in James chapter 1. So whatever you find out that is the knowledge of God, either through direct scripture or, you know, in seeking God and then God guiding you into his wisdom, is what, please write this down, is what you must believe and think upon. You must believe that with all your heart. Think upon it with all your mind. Tell your mind, mind, shut up. You don't know anything. Shut up, mind. Don't lean on natural understanding. Lean on God's knowledge. My mind, just like, you know, the psalmist in Psalm 42, challenge his soul. You see, you can speak to your mind and say, my mind, don't believe that garbage. You believe the word of God. He said to his soul, my soul, hope in God. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him. I tell you, when you speak to your mind will fall back in order. Because it's the devil coming in our minds all the time, trying to get us to lean on our human understanding, trying to get us to be confused and getting us messed up in the mind. Because that's where he fights his battle. If the devil can take control of my mind and get me to believe a lie, then he will direct my life in the way of defeat. That's why I have to be careful what I'm thinking. Bible says, hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Think only on what is pure, What is of good report? Think only on the word of God. Meditate on the word of God day and night. Don't allow your mind to be a playground for the devil. When he begins to bring his thoughts, just cast them down immediately and say, no, I'm not a failure, I'm a success. I'm not a victim, I'm a victor. You have to say to your mind to agree with the word of God. If you don't, the devil will take control of it. You know, it's like a garden. If you don't really plant what you want in that garden, something else will grow there. Isn't that so? Don't think that if you don't really tell your mind what it should believe, you won't believe something. No, the devil gets you to believe something else. So you have to actively sow your mind with the word of God. I say, my mind, hope in God. My mind, believe the word of God. Think upon the word of God only. No room for any other thought. So, whatsoever God says is what you must believe with all your heart, think upon with all your mind, and confess with your mouth, and expect to come to pass in that situation in your life. Again, whatsoever God says, what you find out to be the knowledge of God is what you must believe with all your heart, think upon with all your mind, confess with your mouth. Don't say anything other than what the word of God says out of your mouth. And that's what you must expect also. Don't expect anything other than the word of God. While we are in James chapter 1, let's go back there. So you must not entertain any form of doubt or double-mindedness. The devil will try to get you to be double-minded even when you set out to have faith in God. See, verse 5 again says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man, please pay attention to verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Doesn't God wants to give? God wants to give. As far as says, he gives to all men liberally. When you ask, he will give you. But you are the one that is not able to receive. Why? Because you are wavering. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, God, I don't know what to do. Help me, Lord, to know. Because I know you know. And then I pray that prayer. And then after getting up from the place of prayer, then I begin to worry about the thing again. Say, hey, why me? This thing. Am I the only one? Why am I going through all this? Oh, God, why me? Why? But I just prayed, God, tell me what to do. Now I'm getting in a frame of mind that shows that I don't even expect God to tell me what to do. No, that's not the way. If I've prayed and I've said, God, show me what to do, I'm not going to get up from that place of prayer and be thinking about the trouble anymore. What I'm thinking about now is receiving from God the direction. My eyes are no longer focused on the trouble. I'm like Peter now. I'm looking to Jesus to walk on the water. I'm not looking at the waves anymore. I already told God about it. God, show me what to do. Because once I become double-minded or waver, Bible says I'm not going to receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Hallelujah. Now, before we pray this morning, let's just, since I've been using the example of sickness and healing, let's just look at how to practically apply what we have been sharing so far to our lives. So the same way you apply it to healing or sickness condition, the same way you apply it to any other condition. Just find out what the word of God says. Assuming I go to the GP and the GP says, well, I'm sorry, I've just run diagnosis on you. You have a cancer and it's incurable. I'm so sorry that really we can't help you with this condition. At that point in time, as soon as he speaks to me, I have a choice to make. I either get discouraged and panic and say, well, I'm about to die, and go telling everybody else The GP told me I have cancer. And he told me I only have 1 month to live. Well, do you know somebody who is a specialist in writing will? I can write my will. I can write my will because I'm about to die. Huh? Is the GP God? Did he give me the life? How come now I'm living my life at the mercy of the GP? What he said? Even a man that God, it wasn't even the GP, God himself told him to put his house in order that he was going to die. Ezekiah, did he agree? He said, God, die? How can I die? Have you forgotten all that I've done for you? I still have more work to do for you. I'm not ready to go yet. And God told Isaiah the prophet, go back quickly and tell Ezekiah, I've added more years. Extra 15 years to him. I mean, God, it was God that said to him, not even man, not the GP. And the man said, I'm not going to die. No, I refuse to die. I'm not ready yet. And God said, okay, have it your way now. Take extra 15. Now the GP says, I'm about to die, and I agree with him. See? Because I don't have faith. I'm taking the word of the GP who doesn't know everything as the final authority in my life, instead of looking to God who knows everything. Now the GP says, my sickness is incurable. Now let us see an example. What do I do? I need to go to God and find out God's knowledge. That is the knowledge of the GP, and it is imperfect. So I conclude immediately, that is not what I'm going to have in this matter, because his knowledge is in part. He doesn't know everything. So I'm going to go to God who knows everything. So when I go to God, this is what I'm going to find out. Turn with me quickly to Matthew chapter 4. So the GP says, I have incurable disease, but God says, number one, every sickness is curable. That's what God says. And that's what Bible teaches us here in Matthew chapter 4. So God says every sickness is curable. The GP says, I have incurable disease. But God says every sickness is curable. Verses 23 and 24, let us read together. Matthew chapter 4. Verses 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness, and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases, and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. All manner of sickness, all manner of disease, they brought to Jesus, he healed them. So when the GP tells me my sickness is incurable, I have to know what God knows. That my sickness is curable. Jesus heals them all. Say to yourself, Jesus heals all manner of sickness and disease. So I don't have any incurable sickness. Jesus is my healer. And then second knowledge of God concerning that I can apply instead of leaning on the understanding or knowledge of the GP. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. And that is the fact that with God all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. So when you are faced with a situation that everybody says, well, it's an impossible situation, you better don't agree with them. Because sometimes even some Christians will come and say, well, I know brother so-so-so and sister so-so-so who was in a similar situation like yours. They never made it. You better tell them my case is different. I'm not brother so-so-so. I'm not sister so-so-so. I don't know about them, how they believed. But I believe God with all my heart. And I know God never fails to honor faith. Because you really can't tell the heart of somebody. You can see the brother so-so-so, always punctual in church, carrying big Bible. But you don't know his heart. He can be drawing near to God with his mouth, but the heart can be far from God. God never tells us to look at the example of any man. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So with God, all things are possible. Luke chapter 1. You see, this is why we need the knowledge of God. And then simply agree with that knowledge as Ezekiel did. And then we'll see the power of God perform for us miracles, if need be. God knows how to perform his word. He specializes in miracles, signs, and wonders. Because the Bible says God always works with his word and confirms his word with signs following. Now, Luke chapter 1, verse 36 and 37. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now notice, before we read the next verse, they said Elizabeth was barren. Everybody who knew her said she's a barren woman. Maybe the physicians in town then also examined her and concluded she's barren. She's never going to have a child. But then God comes on the scene and makes the barren woman to conceive. And Gabriel is using the example of Elizabeth to encourage Mary to believe in God. That's all. That your cousin, Elizabeth, who was called barren, she's 6 months pregnant already. And then it goes to the next verse, verse 7. Let's read that together. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's read it one more time. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. One more time. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. If God has promised it in his word, then it is possible. So don't lean on your human understanding. Believe God's word. Believe God's report. God never fails to keep his word. So the choice is always ours. Are we going to believe the report of the doctor or believe the report of God? Isaiah 53 verse 1, we don't need to turn there. That's exactly how Isaiah began his prophecy. Who hath believed our report? In other words, it's choice. Or if you believe God's report, then you see the hand of God revealed to you in that situation. You see the power of God revealed. God is all powerful. Let's go back to Ezekiel 37 and then get ready to speak to your situation. When we find out the knowledge of God, then we do something with that knowledge. We don't just find it out and just fold our hands. Faith is not idle. Faith is not idle. Say that to your neighbor. Faith is not idle. Faith has works. Because faith without works is dead, Bible says. Amen. So if you really have faith, then you show your faith by your action. That's what Bible is saying. If you have faith, you are going to have to do something that shows you have faith. Write these scriptures down, and when you get home, meditate in them. Romans 10 verse 10, 2 Corinthians 4 13, Mark 11 23. All those scriptures tell us the way to live by faith. Romans 10 10 tells us with the heart we believe, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And when you read Romans 10, please read it from verse 6 to 10. Don't just read verse 10 alone, so you can get it in context. Because it teaches us there how faith really operates. It doesn't ask questions about how, who is going to help me, who is going to... No. Just put the word in your heart and in your mouth. That's the way of faith. And then you see the power of God do the rest. And 2 Corinthians 4:13, exactly the same thing. We have in the same spirit of faith according as it is written. We believe, therefore we speak. So we also believe and speak. So if you believe with your heart, you have to speak with your mouth. And Mark 11:23, the same thing Jesus says, if you believe and you say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, the mountain will obey you, so to say. Now back to Ezekiel 37, we see exactly the same thing that God told Ezekiel to do. And this is what you must do. When you have a situation and you found out the knowledge of God about that situation, then you act in faith based on the knowledge of God. It's as simple as that. Ezekiel 37, verse 3 again. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Well, God didn't say, well, that's the end of the matter. Did he? Because now Ezekiel has humbled himself to believe that God is the only one that knows. Then God tells him his knowledge and how to go about the situation to get the victory. So God tells him in verse 4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. In other words, speak the knowledge of God over the bones. You've just told me I'm the one that knows. Now this is what I know about the bones. But you have to speak it, Ezekiel. You have to speak what I know about these bones upon the bones so that the bones can become what I know. And what God knows is his word. So find out what the word of God says about your need. Believe it with your heart. And begin to say it with your mouth.